Morning.
Morning.
So good to be with you once again. And a miracle that I'm with you, that we're with you today. You want me to tell you why?
Yes.
Maybe not a miracle, but the Lord works in mysterious ways. And we were booked to speak today. We just didn't have it on our calendar. usually, and that was from last year. You gave us two dates. Well, one date got filled, and there was this date. Somehow it didn't turn up on our calendar. But at the last year, we use a flip calendar. We're still, you know, whatever you call that, paper. We use paper. And so last year when this was booked, I put it on December. All the things that were booked for this year, I just put them on December and said, when I get to December, we'll be getting a new calendar. We'll transcribe them, transpose them onto the new calendar. Well, somehow, some of the dates got transposed, but this one did not. And so I think it was Friday night, got a text from Will. Since you're going to be here this Sunday, would you like to have dinner with us? Are you staying long enough for dinner in the evening? I was like, I don't know anything about that. We thought we were going to have a relatively quiet weekend, you know, with not much responsibility. And so went back to last year's calendar and looked at December. Sure enough, checked it against the dates. All the dates were there except for this one. And so I, you know, texted Will back as if, yeah, we'll be there, you know. So yesterday was a busy day. And so the Lord gave a word, though. And so we want to share that word with you. We hadn't actually planned on it, but the Lord planned on it, and he made sure that we were here. Now, last time, if I remember correctly, we talked quite a bit about the Word of God. Did we not? Anybody remember that? Because, good, someone did. Will did. Because I can't remember from week to week or day to day, but I do remember that. We talked about the Word of God, and we spoke about certain, I think it was from 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, where it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But that's not it. It has a purpose. That the man of God or the woman of God, the person who belongs to God, may be fully furnished, mature, fully furnished unto every good work. So there is purpose to the Word of God, and there's purpose to studying the Word of God. There are many good reasons, but it's profitable for, in the end, good works. You know that scripture in Matthew chapter 6 in the Beatitudes where it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father. The Word of God has this ability and this transforming power where when it gets into our lives, it changes things in us, but it also has this great power to change people through us. That the man of God or the woman of God may be thoroughly furnished, mature, complete unto every good work, that they may see your good works and not see you, they see God. They get a story of who God is, they get a picture of who he is, and they understand in ways that are tangible, that is through human lives, who God is and what he's about and what he's done for them, because they see what he's done in you, what he can do for them. So the word of God is amazing. And we thank God for his word. And we come around his word today. We're going to look in Titus chapter 1. And I'll give you the punchline in case we don't get to it in the end. So here's where we want to end. And so you can at least have this in the back of your mind as we move towards that end, is that in Titus and in 1 and 2 Timothy, there is a phrase that's used concerning the word of God. It's called sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, which means healthy or healthful doctrine. It is healthy and it promotes health in us, in the body of Christ, and wherever it goes. Sound doctrine. It's the word of God. And that is what we want to hopefully get to today. But we have a little bit to wade through to get to that. But here's the punchline. Sound doctrine results in sound living. And sound living produces good works. And you know what good works produce? People who don't know God coming to know God. People who don't know Jesus Christ coming to know him. They glorify God when they see your good works. Sound doctrine results in sound living, or right living, or what the Bible calls godliness. And godliness produces good works. You don't have to make good works happen. They get produced from lives that are living godly. That comes out of your life. Good works. So that's where we hope to end. Let's begin. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word keeps us healthy. It's good for us. It's profitable. And as we open your word this morning, we pray that that profitability might grab hold of us and take maybe things that are unprofitable in our lives, take them out of the way by your Holy Spirit, and so that that which is profitable might change things in us, transform us, so that we can shine as lights in a dark world, in a crooked world, in a world that's bent in the wrong direction, that they might see you in us and glorify you, come to know you. We thank you for this time. We ask your blessing to each person who listens, that change, conviction, challenge, all those things that your word does might happen in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so you've probably already turned to Titus 1. And we're going to start at verse 1 and read a few verses here. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Here's who he's writing it to. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are wanting, things that are lacking, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, he's talking about elders, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convict those who speak against him. Let's stop there. Okay. So we're going to start right at the beginning in verse 1. And Paul introduces himself. Now, when we talked about the Word of God last time, we said doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in godly living. Right? Instruction, it's foundational truth, that's doctrine, and all the truth that's built on that. Reproof is when the Word of God tells you you're wrong. You're wrong. Correction is when the Word of God tells you here's how you get right. And instruction in godly living is you actually walking it out. You now walk out the truth through this process. So it's not just these items. They're part of a process of growing, of maturing. Remember we talked about that the man of God, woman of God, might be mature and complete. So that's a process. Well, we're going to look at a process here. In these first few verses, about the first five verses, we're going to look at a process. And it's a really interesting process, because this is a process that Jesus Christ began, and it continues right now with us. And there's this example of this process here, and that process is how the Word of God goes into one person, changes their life, that is Paul. And then he transfers that to the next person. You know who the next person is here? Titus. Do you know of any other people who Paul transferred his life into, so to speak, in the Word of God? Timothy. Titus. Luke. Probably Demas. Some who stayed with it, and some who forsook, right? And so all of us are part of a process that has been working since those early disciples passed on what the Lord Jesus Christ left with them. And Paul describes here, Paul is saying, Titus, now, there are some things I want you to take care of in this place called Crete, an island in the Mediterranean. There are things I want you to take care of there, and you're going to have to use the Word of God. And you're going to have to pass it on to some folks in order to deal with these situations that were cropping up and that had cropped up in these local churches in Crete. So that's, in a nutshell, what Paul is doing. And we're just going to look at the introduction, perhaps the first five verses, but there's some very wonderful truths in these scriptures here. So Paul says, here's who I am. That's what he says in verse 1. Do you see that there? He says, I am a servant of God. He says, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. Two things that identify who Paul is and begin to identify his purpose. And as you look through these things, remember, this is a process of from one person to the next person. So this could have been, Paul could have been the person who brought the Word of God to you. Or it could be you who is bringing this word to a Titus. So I want you to think about where you fit in this process, because you are part of this process. This is the way that the Word of God came to you, or the way that the Word of God is being or should be transferred from you. So Paul identifies himself as a servant, and the word there, servant, actually means slave. He is, and more specifically, a bond servant. It is someone who is under authority. They don't have a will of their own. They have turned over their will to someone else. They don't get to make the decision in their life. Somebody else makes the decisions for them. Somebody tells them what to do, where to go, how to do it. The great Apostle Paul identifies himself as a bond servant. He was bound to someone else as a slave. And that was God. He's God's slave. God's will is what dictates his activity. Now, I'm going to use some P's as headings. So maybe this will help you remember each of these. Bond servant. First P is possession. Paul is a possession of God. Now, if you have possessions, right? We all have possessions. Do your possessions rule you? Maybe they do. I don't know. But usually, you rule what you possess, right? You own it. You make decisions for it. That's the idea here. He is owned. He is owned by God. Another P that goes with this possession is position. We said it earlier, he is under authority. He's kneeling, as it were. There's someone over him. This should be every believer's position before God. We take instruction from him. We don't call the shots in our lives. He calls the shots. And so to send this to the end of the message before we get there, is that sound doctrine, in order to be properly transferred from one person to the next person, that person who is transferring or teaching sound doctrine, they have to be possessed by God. This begins at salvation. Most of you know that, but I want to explain it for those of you who don't. God has to be your Savior and your Lord, and that's only possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of us, you may have heard this before, but it's really important to repeat it. Each one of us has a problem. And we're going to look perhaps at some problems here later. But each one of us has one major problem. And that problem is called sin. The reason why sin is a problem is because it separates us from God. We have nothing to do with God. We can never have fellowship. We don't have a relationship with God. We are broken off from God and all the blessings that are in God. As a matter of fact, when we die, when we leave our bodies, we will be eternally separated from God. So that in this life, there are decisions that we need to make. And that main decision we need to make is, what will we do with Jesus Christ? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to God the Father except through me. Because Jesus Christ did something concerning our sin. He took our sin on himself. He took the penalty, the judgment that was ours on himself on the cross, and he died in our place. But he didn't just die, he rose from the grave. And so when we put our faith and our trust in what Jesus Christ did, we can have relationship with God. That separation with God, that would be eternal, that would be forever, now we can have relationship with God eternally. So, Jesus Christ took care of that sin problem. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you become a possession of God. You become a child of God. Now, things really begin to happen in your life. Good things, great things, big things. But Paul says here, I am a possession of God. I am his slave. I do what he says. Everything changed about Paul when he accepted Jesus Christ. And he says, my position is that I am under his authority. So, what about what he says about being an apostle of Jesus Christ? That's his profession. That's his job. Now that he belongs to Christ, now that he belongs to God, God gives him a purpose. God gives, there's another P, I didn't even see that one. But God gives him a purpose. God gives him a job, a profession. And that profession, he says, is, I am an apostle. Now that word apostle simply means one who is sent. Sent on a mission. Sent with a message. One who is sent. And so, you know what we call that in another word that we use to say somebody who is sent, a missionary, that's true. What about a more secular term, perhaps? Starts with an A. Ambassador. Ambassador is a perfect word to explain what we are. We are sent from God with a message. And that's what Paul is saying. He is a possession of God, and he has this new profession. And that is that he is sent with a message. He is sent with a message of Jesus Christ. And then he says, this message corresponds to two things. This message is related to two things. This message is for the purpose of two things. And those two things, he says here, is to the faith of God's elect, that's one, and to the acknowledging of the truth, which is according to godliness. All right, what does that mean? To the faith of God's elect. Now, faith here is not the sense of believing. Faith here is when someone says, my faith, my belief, my, what should I say, this body of truth, this body of belief that makes up all our Christian values. So faith here is more of a noun. It's not an action, a belief. It's see if I can explain this a little bit better. It's the faith that is embraced by all believers. This is the body of truth and the body of doctrine that we believe. So Paul is here saying that his purpose as a servant of God and as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, his purpose is to promote or to further the faith, to further this doctrine, to further sound doctrine, to get it out there and get it into other people. That's the first thing. That's his purpose. But the second thing, he says, is the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, or which produces godliness. Remember we talked about sound doctrine producing godly living or sound living? Sound doctrine producing godliness. So he says, there's two things. I want to promote this faith, Christianity. Let's just put it that way. I want to promote this message of Jesus Christ, the gospel. But I want it to not only be put forth, but I want it to be acknowledged. I want it to get into people's lives. Not just known, not just heard, but to infiltrate people's lives. And this is really one of the things that happens when we become Christians, is that the Word of God doesn't just stay out here and we hear it, we see it, we may even understand it, but it becomes part of our lives. This is what has to happen to every believer in order for the Word of God to go out from your life. It's first got to get into your life. It's got to become incorporated in who you are. And this is a problem sometimes, because we hear messages, we read, we pray, we do all the right things, and yet sometimes it doesn't seem to produce the changes that it should. But Paul says he is committed to seeing that changes get produced in people's lives. Now, again, I said you can put yourself in Paul's place. Are you a servant of God? Is that the one you're taking your instructions from? As you think about your daily life, who's calling the shots? Who is calling the shots in your relationships? Who's calling the shots in your job, in your business, in your profession? Okay, move on to the next thing. Again, we're doing backup here, but as you think about what Paul says concerning himself, are you an ambassador? Do you see yourself as here, wherever here is, wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, are you there with a message from God on mission for God? Do you see yourself as such? Because if you don't, then that sound doctrine, that helpful, healthy doctrine won't be transferred from you. You first have to identify yourself as such, just as Paul did. And then, is your desire to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is your desire, and let me say your motivation for doing things is so that people will hear the truth concerning Jesus Christ. This faith, what we call our faith, that people will be attracted to this faith in Jesus Christ. And then, as we discussed, are you allowing the truth of God's word to infiltrate your life? And do you want to see it change other people's lives? Not just for them to become a Christian, not just us to be all in the same club, but to really see change happen in people's lives. If that's where you are, then you're moving in the right direction. And you're moving where Paul is moving right now in this. So he says in verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. So we looked at possession and position. We looked at profession. We looked at Paul's purpose. And now we look at, do you see a P there? In verse 2. What's that? A promise. A promise. The promise is eternal life. Eternal life. We don't just do what we do. We didn't come to Christ just to have our sins forgiven. There's so much more. There is life beyond this life. There's eternal life. We don't even, you know, all the things that you can enjoy in this life, and there are many, we try to find ways to enjoy our lives, right? We can't even begin to imagine what the enjoyment of eternal life is. So let me ask you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, as someone who's tracking as we're tracking now, are you looking forward to eternal life? Or is your focus just right here? Is all of these things that we're talking about go into you being able to transfer what God has put into you, transferring that to someone else. These are things that Paul, the apostle, taught to Titus, to Timothy, and they in turn taught them to others. And this is what Paul is asking Titus to do, is to take those things that I have taught you, that you've learned as we've traveled together, as we've worked together, as we've grown together. And he's going to dispatch him. Actually, he has left him to deal with some issues. Because the other thing that the Word of God does is that there's always going to be problems. And especially, you know, there's always going to be problems in the world, right? The world is full of problems. But do you realize that there are problems in the church? There are problems in the church. And we don't deal with the problems in the church the way that the world deals with problems out there. We deal with them based on this structure here, that we are servants of God. We have somebody else calling the shots. And he has a message that he's given us. We don't have to make up, figure out how to solve the problem. He's already given the word that will solve the problems in the body of Christ. We don't have to look out there. We just have to look in here. It's all in here. And so he says, are you looking for the promise? Or are your eyes just focused here? So that was the promise. Now, he says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. What you find out is that God has a whole program. It says, eternal life is something he promised before the world began. And verse 3, now, in due time, he's manifested his word through preaching. There is a program that God came up with before the world began. It's a program of grace. It's a program called redemption. It's a program called salvation. It's a massive program. A lot of, I hate to say this about God, but I will say a lot of planning has gone in. This is God's program and plan for the whole world. And so we are part of this program. And we are part of the outworking of this program. So everything that we're seeing here that Paul is saying, you are part of it. You are part of God's program. And what Paul said about himself in verse 3 is that God, at a certain point in time, committed a part of this program to Paul. You see that in verse 3? Through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior. Do you remember when that got committed to Paul? When the program got committed to Paul? It was a certain day. It was the exact same day that Paul first accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Guess what? Same for you. The very first time that your eyes were opened and you said, Jesus Christ, please be my Savior, that program you became part of that program. You became part of that implementation of that program in the world. Each one of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, something has been committed to us by the commandment of Jesus Christ. Now, that day, Jesus Christ met Paul on the road to Damascus. And he told him, "You're going in the wrong direction." And that day, Paul said, "Yeah, you're right. I'm going in the wrong direction. But now I'm going to go in your direction." That day, he became a servant. He became an ambassador. He had a lot of things to learn. But God has used him mightily. And he has used him in your life. Do you see how all that Paul was doing has now gotten transferred to you? Each one of us sitting here are part of this process of this program. And so he says, now he says to Titus, let's just say it just got handed off from Paul to you. And it's yours also by command. Do you know, where's the command to you? Do you know? Where's a verse that where you know that he's commanded you to do the same thing that Paul is doing and that Paul has done? Absolutely, what a command. The Great Commission. The Great Commission. You have been commanded. Go. Preach. Paul said, "I preach by command." Guess what? We preach, and preaching is simply telling this message. And you preach to the unsaved, and you teach the saved. Right? And that's what it says, go into all the world, and depending on the translation, make disciples. Preach to every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And by the way, I'm with you. So the same Jesus Christ who spoke to Paul on that day, spoke to the disciples, when he says, go into all the world, is the same one who goes with us right now. He is the author of the process. He's the author of the program, and he's going to follow us through to the finish of it. Now, we're just going to wrap up here. So in verse 4, we see another P. It says to Titus, this I want to call passing the baton. Passing it on, passing the baton. And Paul did this very thing, as I said earlier. He did it with Titus. He did it with Timothy. He even did it with John Mark. He did it with Luke. He did it with Demas, who eventually forsook them. And there were others, Hymenaeus, Philetus, there was Aquila and Priscilla. There were. So here's what I'm asking you. Who are the Timothys in your life? Who are the Tituses? Have you identified with these things that we discussed, that Paul is saying we should all be? Because if you are, then you're right on the edge of passing off this baton. But maybe you're right at the beginning, where first of all, you need to say, God, I'm your child, but I'm not your servant. I haven't allowed you to really take possession of me. I'm your servant, but I'm not fulfilling the mandate of an ambassador, where I represent you wherever you send me, wherever you leave me. This is where Titus finds himself. And where Titus finds himself is that he is in a very tough place. Crete, we're not going to discuss that today. But if you read a little bit further, you find out that Crete was full of deceivers and liars. And guess where they were? In the church. Titus was given a tough task. Let me ask you, can God entrust you with the task that he wants to entrust you? Or are you just kind of floating on the surface of what God wants you to do? Titus was thrown into the thick of things. And he was given all the instruction he needed. And God will do the same for you. But as we pray, I just want you to think about, where are you in this process? Where do you identify yourself? Or where don't you identify yourself that you need to? Because we're all part of this big program that God is doing, bringing many sons and daughters into his kingdom, into glory. And it all hinges, at least your part, hinges on, first of all, a submission to God. That's a slave, a servant. That's the first place we need to start. Are you submitted to him? Can he speak to you and say, I need you to do this for my glory, for my sake? Where are you today? There's a lot more here that he wants to say, but let's deal with what he has already said. And so as we pray, if you see yourself lacking in one of these areas, in terms of your position, or being a possession, or knowing what your profession is, or understanding your purpose from God, or having a focus that goes beyond this life to the promise of eternal life, or recognizing that you are part of God's much bigger program and allowing him to do preaching through you. And by preaching, being able to pass the baton to someone else. You see, God wants each of us to develop and grow and mature so that eventually we produce good works. Things that people can see, and automatically they look up to God and say, you are great, God, and glorify his name. Heavenly Father, we recognize that in the body of Christ, and in each of our lives, there are things that are lacking that only you can bring us to, that only you can grow us up in. And we know that the limiting factor is not you. The limiting factor, Lord, is us. It's always us. And whether we will respond to your word, whether we will submit to you, whether we will allow you to call the shots in our lives. And so I just pray for each one of us. I pray for myself that as you show from your word where you desire me to submit to you, that I will allow you to do that. Lord, that whatever you have said to each one of us this morning, whatever is that standout thing, that we will just go to you, confessing where we have missed the mark and allowing you to set us right. Even as you ended up using Titus in this difficult place, Lord, wherever each one of us is, I pray that we might allow you to work in us and then use us for your glory. We thank you for this time. I pray that each person here might take some more time to look at what you have been saying, maybe to even do some personal study in this chapter so that the message doesn't get lost on just today, but that it moves beyond today and becomes a part of their life. Lord, we know that that's the only way to grow. So we pray for the incorporation of your word into who we are, changing us, transforming us, making us more like Jesus Christ, so that when people look at us, they will say, wow, what a God, what a Savior. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.